Hello, this is Kyle Jones. This is our 10th Vanderbilt show, and I am grateful to still have the time to present my lectures for a tremendous listening audience that we have acquired over the past 10 weeks. I am thankful for their support and hope to continue such a broadcasted lecture series. As we continue to look to Ptolemy, he had repeatedly insisted in his work, Tetrabiblos, that stationary or halted planets affect the meaning of how one is to read the heavens and its conditions concerning regal or kingly astrological conditions. Here we have his statement concerning the importance of stationary or halted over planets. Quote, of the predictions itself, one portion is regional. Therein, we must foresee what countries or cities there is within significance to the various eclipses or the irregular stations of the planets, that is, of Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars, whenever they halt, or that is, estate epeno, for then are they significant. End quote. Remember that Matthew had used this very Greek astrological term, estate epeno, concerning the great light over the Messianic child. In Ptolemy's day, he was using this significant activity that had taken place on April 17th, BC 6, to support Herod's kingdom of regal importance. Last week, we had already established our biblical, philological, historical, and astrological accounts that were fully in support of April 17th, BC 6, as being that portentous and regal day of a secular and Judaistic Messiah's birth. For Ptolemy and the rest of recorded civilization starting from Sumeria, we have historically made our foundation for this point, that is, that Jupiter in Aries was the focal signpost in the heavens that demarked that great kingly occurrence, that blessed hope for mankind. As we stated before, most of the secular and or non-Jewish world did not conform to any real importance concerning the zodiac's signs and its conforming to the constellation. Rather, the meanings of the planets and the paths they took made their own meaning in prior significance to the understanding of the old world, because they had already established with the secular world, their prior importance by their motion, by their name, and by their regal significance. In other words, the motion of the planets and luminaries were in the process of teaching the old world the new meaning of their own motions. Well, which is to me the most remarkable point to this study, for this lecture. It was on April 17th, BC 6, that Jupiter and Saturn traveled, quote, eastward, end quote, from Pisces and into Aries earlier in the year. On April 17th, Jupiter emerged in the east and was occulted by the moon. On this day, Mars is found in Taurus. The sun, the moon, Saturn, and Jupiter are all found in Aries, while Venus is found in Pisces, which has tremendously more import than I have time to discuss for this lecture. As the day of April 17th, BC 6 proceeded, the sun began leaving Aries and moved into Taurus around June 20th, then stopped at its first station or housing on August 23rd. Jupiter, the king planet, seemed to have halted in Taurus for about a week as the Earth, in its faster orbit around the Sun, started to catch up to Jupiter. Ostensibly, Jupiter reversed its direction in its retrograde motion and proceeded westward, which is our Greek biblical term found in Matthew 2, verse 9, called proagen, for the phrase went before in new strength. This motion caused Jupiter to return to Aries on October 27th, BC 6. During that time, the Earth was passing Jupiter, which produced the illusion, or ostensible retrograde motion, that the distant planet was going in the opposite direction against the background stars. Anyway, Jupiter then halted a second time, for a period of about a week. Jupiter housed itself center in Aries, beginning on December 19th. It is this very motion in the heavens that, in secular astrology, signaled the astrologer that this would be the place or location that the king would be born. Keep in mind, only those astrologers who were fixed at those particular points on the earth could have had a significant relation to the positions of the heavens at those particular times. At this time, Jupiter resumed its eastward motion against the background of stars and left Aries early in 5 BC. The single event of Jupiter's heliacal rising in Aries would not take place until well into the 1st century AD, which would be past the time of Christ's ministry by the prophet Daniel's 70th week time frame. Regardless, early astrologers took note that the stationing of Jupiter in Aries meant that the trine, which is the most important aspect for significant motions in the heavens to the Greeks, where two bodies become four signs, or 120 degrees apart, had come to its full sum. Or another way to put it, quote, all degrees of heavenly motion for kingly significance had come to its full end, end quote. As we continue to follow the paths of the luminaries in the heavens, we see that from November 19th to December 19th, 6 BC, the Sun passed through Sagittarius, the Archer, while Jupiter and Saturn were still in Aries. Therefore, the trines of Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius were occupied by their three rulers. In November and December of BC 6, Jupiter was not in its heliacal rising or morning rising, and the Sun was not in its exaltation or its house of Aries. It was here that Jupiter underwent retrograde motion again and reached its housing or station during this trine aspect, which intensified all conditions of a regal birth to Ptolemy concerning a king that had already been born. These motions were in regal confirmation to all prior heavenly motions that we have been discussing for the past month and can be seen in Ptolemy's Tetrabiblos, chapter 2, verse 6. It was December 19th that held an important secondary meaning to the world of Judea, and for sure, the Persian, Greek, and Roman culture. This might very well be the answer to the winter solstice, or Paganus' answer for the Solus Invicti, or God of the Sun, that the modern Christianized world rejoices in every December. This most important secondary motion that occurred in December BC 6 answers to the very statement that Matthew had said, that the planet Jupiter, which the world of Judea had seen in its heliacal rising, went retrograde and became stationary, or estate epeno, in the heavens, which was to show where the child of the world's blessed hope would be, not born, but be as a little toddler, and in its term paid on, as is used in Matthew. The shocking quality to this study is that the biblical account of Matthew is a complete form of all secular mentionings to the king/Messiah to come that would be summed up in such a poetical form. That is to say again, Matthew spoke for all of secular mankind in the greatest poetical treatise ever recorded in such a succinct, unassuming, and terse biblical account. Matthew seems so innocuous at first, but when furthered, a code so hidden to the world, so infinite, so all-powerful, all resounding, so poetical, so inspired, that it should debase itself to give us an answer of the infinite. I'll end our lecture for now, but I would like to just make clear that all of our astrological, historical, philological, and biblical mentionings so far have come together as absolutely one statement in support of Christ's regal birth. As I have stated before, all of the broken shards of glass come together in one form to promote this most regal point to the Messiah's birth and place of natal regency, if you will.